This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Oh, this is Mark Vandenberg, the executive producer over at the Gun Rights Radio Network, and you're listening to the Handgun World Podcast with your host, Bob Main. Now, hey, I got to meet Bob last year live, in person, and he's just as great in person as he is on the show.
Hello, everybody. Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Well, this is episode number 240, and I'm going to cover some listener voicemails. I promised I would do that. I've been promising that for several weeks. I do have a little bit of a subject matter to cover before the voicemails, but the voicemails will be the primary topic of this show. So as I cruise down the freeway in the Handgun World mobile studio, you know, I want to tell you something. About 30 seconds ago, I got passed by a pickup truck that's in the back window of the pickup. He's got a big sticker that says protected by Glock. Now, I got to say, the man has a good choice in handguns, but I don't know that I would actually put that big sticker in the back of my pickup truck window. Not a good idea, in my opinion. Just my personal opinion. I am kind of curious, though, what kind of Glock he's got in his truck. That would be, just kind of interesting to know. Anyway, okay. So, for this 240th episode. Wow, closing in on 250 episodes. How about that? Okay, I guess I've been doing this podcast a little while. The fourth anniversary of the Handgun World podcast is coming up shortly. I believe it's the first week in August. I'll look it up, and I'll talk about it when that time comes. You know, I want to say something before I get into the voicemails here. I want to say something about the George Zimmerman trial. I've kept kind of quiet about that, because I wanted to wait till it was over and the facts came out, or most of the facts. I mean, I know that there's some facts that we didn't hear that didn't get, you know, put into the, that didn't get admitted into court, okay? And there's some facts both for George Zimmerman and for Trayvon Martin that did not get put in as evidence. But here's what we apparently know. Now, this is my opinion, and I know this is a polarizing subject, folks. I know this is a very, very sensitive subject. I want to start by saying I am very, very upset that this has turned into a racial subject. What a shame. What a complete shame. This should not be about race. And I'm very, very upset. I'm upset with our country. I really am. I am very, very much upset with a lot of citizens in this country that they have actually turned something like this into a racial issue, because it is not, ladies and gentlemen, it is not. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I think George Zimmerman made some mistakes. I think he made some mistakes. Based on the training that I've been through twice at the Masada Youb Group Mag 40 class, my training as a Texas CHL instructor, which I am a Texas CHL instructor, the training I've been through, and when I analyze what we actually know about what George Zimmerman did, he made some mistakes, okay? He did. Now, his mistakes did not amount to second-degree murder. That's my opinion. I think they overcharged the man. I mean, second-degree murder was just way out there. No way. That wasn't second-degree murder. I'm not a lawyer, though, folks. I am not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not an expert on that stuff. I'm just a common-sense guy looking at this from a common-sense, everyday guy perspective. But please understand that I really believe that your gun has to be the absolute last resort when there is no other chance for you to survive. You know, I spend so much time here talking about guns. 240 episodes talking about firearms. and self-defense and training and competition and all that other stuff. And then I say, but it should be the last resort. What's happening to George Zimmerman right now may happen to you, even if you do everything right. That's what I want to say. And, you know, Masada Yub teaches this when you go to Mag 40. You can do everything right and still get into trouble. That's the point I want to make here. I know it's a shame. I'd still rather live. I would still rather do everything right, defend myself, even if I get in trouble. At least I get to live. And hopefully I'll have some good legal representation. By the way, I am a member of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Please join the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. I don't get anything from that. I just believe in it. Here in Texas, there's another group called Texas Law Shield. Check them out. Texas Law Shield. Some say that's a good organization as well. Become a member of something like that. Get a lot of training. You know, recently Ben Branham and I taught one of our little four-hour pistol fighting dynamics courses, which are becoming very popular. Check out the website and you can see when the next one's coming up. And I told the students in that class, I said, you know, here's your training certificate for completing this class. Save all of your training certificates. Every time you get a training certificate saying that you completed a course, save that. Create a file so that you can show that you are a trained individual. So you can show that when you fired that gun, you knew what you were doing. You have received training. You see, the anti-gunners, the anti-gun people think that we are a bunch of untrained fools. Let's prove them wrong, please, okay? So if you take a training class, the instructor is going to give you a completion certificate, and if he doesn't, ask him for one. Make a file. Keep it on record. That may be evidence that you know what you're doing. But it's a last resort. And even with all that evidence and even with all your training, you could do everything right and still get in trouble. Now, please, please don't start blasting me saying that I thought George Zimmerman did everything right. I don't think that George Zimmerman did everything correctly. Okay? Perhaps never getting out of his car would have been a good idea. Perhaps he shouldn't have done that. And this would have never happened. Maybe. I don't know. But even if you do everything right, you still got a battle ahead of you, folks. There are two fights that happen. There are two fights in self-defense. There's the fight itself, and then there's the fight afterwards to keep your good name, to keep yourself out of jail. That's the second fight. Are you ready for that fight? That's all I want to say. Those are the comments that I want to say about that, and there's a lot of good resources out there. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into the first voicemail.
Hey, Bob, this is Dave in Utah. In the most recent podcast, I think, it's the most recent one that I listened to, someone called in asking for advice about pistols for a small hand. You suggested, you know, your Shield, your PM9. He might also want to consider a gun with a shorter trigger reach, like, you know, a single-action gun like the SIG 238 or a 938. Maybe even something like a Springfield EMP. That's their 9mm 1911, kind of the carry gun. You know, those might work. Or another option that he may consider is a revolver. The grip on a revolver is not, on an automatic, the grip is kind of have to accommodate a magazine that fit a certain size bullet, and so it's kind of limited as to how small you can make it. But on a revolver, all it is just a frame and then a spring in there, and so there's a great variety in the size and width and, you know, variety of grips that you can get. If you're going to get a revolver, I would look into Smith & Wesson Model 60 or the Ruger SP-101. Those are both kind of the J-frame size. They shoot 5-shot. And both the Model 60 and the Ruger SP-101 can also, you can get them in a 3-inch barrel. So if you want something that's more of a full-size gun, you can do that. I've also heard that the Ruger GP100, which is the kind of their medium-sized, you know, six-round gun, has a shorter trigger reach than something like a Smith & Wesson 686. So, you know, those are, they're different guns. You'd have to learn how to use them, but it's possible. You know, just a few things to think about, and thanks for doing the podcast. Have a good day. Bye.
Good points, Dave. You know, I forgot about the single-action guns. I think I made mention that 1911s or even single-action guns like the P-238s or the P-938s can be real good for people with small hands. Absolutely. So good suggestions. Revolvers, too. Forgot about that. I tend to forget about revolvers too much, you know, just because I don't own one right now and don't shoot a whole lot of revolvers. No offense to all of you out there who like revolvers. You know, hey, Ben Branham's gone to a revolver, a 38 Special Ruger LCR for his backup gun, and it makes a heck of a lot of sense. So, hey, no offense to any of you out there, but yeah, revolvers definitely for people with smaller hands and things like that could definitely be a good choice. Thank you, Dave. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Bob, this is Damien from Dallas. Just wanted to send you a quick voicemail. I watched the movie World War Z. I know that you mentioned in your podcast that you watched it. And actually, I've seen it twice, Bob. I actually enjoyed it. But I'm a kind of zombie guy. I like the whole zombie movies from way back and way back in the day in the originals. So I like to see it twice. But it got me thinking, and I wanted to ask you, I'm not going to do any spoilers for the movie, but if you ever had to leave the area quickly, I started thinking about the bug out bag. It'd be kind of nice if you can do, I think you probably covered a lot of this in, before, but if you can cover the bug out bag, why would you need one? What would you have in it? Where should you have the bug out bag? You know, in your car, you're supposed to keep it in your garage. And also another question is, if you put a handgun in your bug out bag, which I'll let you determine that should go in there or not, should you have a dedicated gun that's always in the bug out bag, or is it okay just to have the ammo for your main carry gun? Things like that. If you can just kind of explain maybe cover the bug out bag a little bit, and why would you do it, and how, and where would you store it, and give some practical advice in that area. I think that would be a cool podcast. So just wanted to send this voice message out to you because I know that you are definitely a prepper and know a lot more about the stuff than I do. With that, take care, Bob. Have a great one.
Well, Damien, I'm glad you brought that up. I definitely believe in having a bug-out bag. For those of you who listen to the other podcast I do called Today's Survival Show, it's all on prepping. And I've talked about the bug-out bag many times over there. If you go over to that website, www.todayssurvival.com, if you check it out and just search bug-out bag, you'll find – I did a whole episode on one. But as far as a shooter's bug-out bag, absolutely, yes. Everybody, I'm traveling with one right now. I apologize. I'm in my rental car right now, and so I didn't bring my bug-out bag. But whenever I'm traveling in my regular car, I bring a bug-out bag. I do bring a kind of a shorter, smaller version of a bug-out bag on the road with me. And matter of fact, I'll probably explain what that is a little bit later in another podcast. Might be a good podcast idea. But my bug-out bag has got this, and this is what I would suggest everybody. I don't care who you are. Carry this. Carry this in your vehicle somehow. Figure out a way to fit it in there. Enough food in there to keep you alive for 3 days. Okay? Enough food to keep you alive for 3 days. Just alive. Doesn't have to be gourmet food or anything like that. Enough water to keep you alive for 3 days, and you might not fit it all in your bag. Now, I use a big JanSport internal frame backpack. And I think I'm going to start keeping that. Actually, I've got two bug-out bags. I got an old range bag, an old Smith & Wesson range bag that I can fit 3 days' worth of stuff in there. I can fit 3 days' worth of water, 3 days' worth of food. It's mostly canned food and vacuum-sealed beef jerky and vacuum-sealed stuff like that that I rotate a lot. Rotate because of all the temperature changes. You know, I rotate that stuff and I pay attention to the expiration dates. I have an extra box of 9mm ammo. I have an extra pistol in there. I do. I have an extra pistol in the bug out bag, and plenty of 9mm ammo. So definitely, I got an extra knife in there. I got a couple of, actually, one cheap knife and one real nice knife in there. I've got some basic medical supplies, just some basic stuff. Maybe I need to have, I probably need to improve that. I need to have a tourniquet in there and some other better medical supplies and things like that. But I got kind of a basic first aid kit. I don't really have a blowout kit in there, although maybe I need to. And I've got extra batteries in there, and I got one of these little extra power sources for my cell phone and for my iPad. I got one of these external power sources that I can plug in just in case I'm stranded somewhere, but I still need to power up my iPhone and iPad. You know, if all that stuff is still working, if I can still communicate by phone, I don't want to be running out of battery. You know, I think about what if my car breaks down, and what if my car breaks down in a not very nice area? I was listening to one of Michael Bain's podcasts recently, and Michael Bain on Downrange Radio was talking about knowing the areas that you travel through frequently. Well, I don't always know all the areas that I'm going to be in because I travel a couple of different states. And I might have to make a sales call in an area where I've never been before. So I really don't know what I'm getting into. And this is why I carry all this with me. But even if you travel the same route every day, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. Rotate the ammo in your bug-out bag, too, because if you're like me, it gets hot in my trunk and it gets cold and things like that. Rotate that ammo. I rotate that ammo once a month. Never had a problem with it. I shoot it through my gun, usually at a training class or at a competition match, and then I stick a new box of ammo, hollow points, in my bug-out bag. And a couple of extra magazines should always be in there. Tools, basic tools, screwdrivers, pliers, crescent wrenches, a small socket wrench set, stuff like that, just basic tools that can probably get you out of it. And I'll tell you one thing that really, really saved my butt one day. I got a portable air compressor. I got one of those little air compressors that you plug into the power source in your car, the DC power source. That thing saved my butt one time. I was able to inflate a tire that went flat on me, and I was able to get the tire to hold enough air long enough, 5 minutes, so I could get down to a discount tire shop about 5 minutes down the road and have them fix my tire. See, it was 105 degrees that day in Texas. I didn't feel like changing a tire. I could have, but I just didn't want to. So I decided to whip out my little portable air compressor, start my car up, inflate the tire. I stared at it for about 4 minutes, and it was holding some air, and I figured I'm going to give this thing a chance, and I'm going to see if it'll hold enough air, because I Googled, and I found out that there was a discount tire shop 5 minutes away, and I figured, you know what, I bet you I can make this work for 5 minutes, and it worked out great, and I didn't have to change a tire in the 105 degree heat. Of course, I could have. I've changed many a tires in my life, but hey, I just didn't feel like it, all right? I had a long day. So, anyway, you can fit one of those in your bug-out bag. I fit all this stuff I'm describing right now in a Smith & Wesson range bag. Have extra flashlights in there. Again, I'm thinking about changing it out, though, to my, and just keeping my JanSport backpack, because the thing just holds so much more. I can just fit so much more stuff in there. It's unbelievable. And I like to have an internal frame pack. The reason I like to have one of those with the internal frames that hikers like to use is because they distribute the weight nice and evenly. And if I have to go on foot, you never know. But if you have to go on foot, it's so much easier to carry that thing. So I hope that answers Damien's question. Go check out my other podcast. I get a lot more in depth about a bug out bag, but yeah, you should have it. Why? I mean, think about this. I hate to use the word bug out bag. I'd rather it called an emergency kit. Should always have one emergency kit in every vehicle and always one in every home. You never know what kind of weather event you're going to run into. You never know what kind of a rioting event you might run into. That's another reason why I like to keep a long gun in my car as often as possible. Okay, thank you, Damien, for calling that in. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Bob, Steve and Isle, a couple comments about your corrections podcast and then just a couple quick follow-up comments in general. Number one, I think you probably deliver one of the fairest, if not the fairest podcasts out there, and I listen to quite a few. I don't understand why some are so critical or so sensitive about others. voicing their opinions. I think that the opinions that you shared, John Hathaway, Ben Branham, and others, are just that, their opinions. They're not absolutes. They're not written in stone. They're not mandates that others must adhere to. So I think part of it is folks need to be less sensitive about this, specifically on the fit to fight. Okay, if fit to fight doesn't work for you, then how about fit to a better quality life, a healthier life? I think that's, you can obviously extrapolate some value from that. Number two, on the training, not training as irresponsible. You know, I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that personally, because I was one of the folks that went out, got a CCW, and didn't practice my craft, didn't dedicate enough time to shooting. Therefore, I had no to low confidence, and I didn't carry. I've since then, through your podcast and others, felt more comfortable, learned a bit more, gotten out there and spent more time on the range, and over the point where I do some more training. Am I paying for training? No, but I'm shooting right-handed, I'm shooting left-handed, I'm shooting different scenarios, I'm shooting, and I think that's what's important. Maybe it's not official training, but you're training. You're training to hone your craft, and I think that's important, especially if you're gonna be a CCW permit holder. I think that's a responsibility that you owe to yourself and others. In my general comments, ammo here in Iowa is still tough to find. It is becoming a little more available. 9 and 223 are trickling out. 22 is still virtually non-existent. Also, I wanted to point out that for those debating on some of the different types of ammo, I know I left you a voicemail on this earlier. Did talk to the gunsmith. I had a steel casing stuck in my chamber. Said he's been seeing a lot of that. So, again, a lot of variables. I would just suggest, and I'm sure many know this, before you buy bulk, buy a box, make sure it shoots. All right. Thanks, Bob. Take care.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the compliment. I try to be the best I can, as non-controversial on this show as I can. I'm a very open-minded guy, folks, and I am always willing to learn. And then I'm always willing to share with you what I learn. And so if I'm wrong on something, hey, I have no problem admitting that I'm wrong on something. Matter of fact, guess what? Now I have to correct a correction. I'm going to go ahead and say this. John Payne brought it to my attention. One of the things that they've got going on over at Suarez International, which I think is pretty cool, is a fitness program, especially for the instructors. And at Suarez International, they really believe in being fit, and I think that's good. And, like Steve just said, if it's not fit to fight, how about just fit to live? And what they do is they try to make the, I misspoke earlier, measure the circumference of your biceps and the circumference of your quadriceps. And it should be bigger than your waist measurement. Okay? Mine's not. My biceps and quads, not bigger than my waist. So think about that. In other words, get in shape. If you get in shape, that's pretty much what it's going to be. Now, I hope I got that. I'm kind of dyslexic, for some reason. But I know what they're talking about, Have your upper body in shape. Have your lower body in shape. Have your waist as flat as possible. Be in shape. Get on a diet. Do what you got to do. But just do that. Measure guys. I'm speaking to guys here, of course, not ladies. Guys, measure your biceps. All right? Measure your quadriceps. Put those two together. Add them up. Okay, so if they add up to a 37, for example, let's say your biceps and your quad, the circumference of both, if they add up to 37, then your waist should be a 37 or a 36. But if your waist is a 42 and your bicep and your quad mixed is a 36 and you're a 42 waist, maybe you got some work to do. Okay, that's the whole key there, right there. So that's what it's talking about. Is let's not have out of proportion bodies. And again, we talk so much about defending ourselves with a gun. Well, how about also just staying alive in general? I mean, isn't that kind of what we're all after? Is staying alive and being healthy. A lot of people on a healthy lifestyle these days, and they should be. So keep that in mind. All right, let's go to the... by the way, Steve, thank you very much again for the compliments. And let's see here. There's a couple more voicemails. Let's go to the next couple. Well, let's go to one of them here.
Hey, Bob, Mexican Joe here, Northeast Texas. Just a comment on your Handgun World podcast on corrections. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, I just recently got blamed on a forum. A guy interpreted, you know, I was an expert at something when it was all about opinion on ARs. And one of the callers that you talked about mentioned, I actually started out using Scott books and reading all of those, and some stances work and some don't. I know it works for me, and mine are very fluid. Everything that we do with regards to guns and prepping and all that, it's all a matter of opinion and comfort and what you like. So everybody needs to kind of keep that in mind, that when we're talking about all this stuff, it's opinion. It's what people think. It's what works for them. So everybody's a little different. Me and Super Dave actually have different stances and different holds. It's all about what works for us and our body type, and we tend to have different opinions about things. You can do that with people about AKs and ARs or anything else. So I think everybody just needs to keep in mind that it's all opinion, and everybody has a right to their own opinion. And just take the opinion, listen to it, play with it, maybe I'll try to come back to you. You changed some opinions with me on the 380 and a couple other things. So I really like your saying, take the best and leave the rest. And somebody's opinion may come back to revisit you later, and you may see their point of view that you didn't initially. So anyway, that was it. Basically, it's just everybody have an open mind and understand that it's all about opinion. And nobody's really an expert in this. You don't hold a master's degree in something, you're not a master of it. But yet you can still be an instructor and be very knowledgeable. All right, that's it. Y'all have a good day, and we'll talk to you soon, Bob. Bye.
Well, that's right, Joe. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, podcasts like this are a matter of opinion, and none of us are perfect. And most, I think, podcasters that do this, or even radio show hosts that do this, most of us do this with good intentions. And you are going to hear opinions. So when you tune into a show like mine, you're going to hear my opinion. If you don't like my opinion, then you're probably going to quit listening to me. And there are some people that nitpick a little bit, and they take one thing I say and they run with it like crazy, and then they email me and they say, Bob, I'm never going to listen to your show ever again because you said this. Or you spent three episodes complaining about this, and so I'm going to turn you off. Okay, well, I can't help that. I am who I am. And if you're going to turn me off because of something I said in three episodes when I've done 230 episodes or something like that. So if you're going to throw out the other 227 episodes because of three of them that I said, well, I guess that's your choice. My podcast is free, and these are opinions. I always say, take the best and leave the rest. In other words, take the best of what I have to offer. Make it your own. Leave the rest. If I say something you don't like, I offer something you don't like, let it go. Don't use it. Leave it. Have nothing to do with it. That's fine. You might not want to quit listening, though, just because I say something you don't agree with. You know, if you quit listening to everybody that you don't agree with, you're probably not going to have too many people to talk to. I mean, my goodness, I don't agree with family members all the time, including my wife. You know, what if I quit talking to my wife and son because I don't agree with them? What if I quit listening to them because I don't agree with them? Well, yeah, you know, come on. I hope you're not that kind of a person. But, you know, thank you, Joe, for calling that in. Joe has something else to say, too. So here we go. Let's listen to Joe's second voicemail.
Hey, Bob, Mexican Joe up here in Northeast Texas. Hey, I was just listening to Ben's podcast that he did through your show on gun shows, and I just had two real quick comments. The first one is when we are looking for a certain gun or pricing guns and we're running the tables, what we will do is carry a notepad with you, and then it will be aisle one, third booth, aisle four, fourth booth on the right, whatever, and the prices of what the gun was. So we take notes so we don't forget which dealer had what gun. That's just a real simple way, because we've all done that frog gun and forgot what dealer it was. So that was the first comment. The second comment was that something we like to do, me and Super Dave, is that we will actually get about four of us together, and we will all plan on a Saturday to go to the gun show, and we will go together, and we'll go out and either grab something to eat on the way out or just grab something quick in a drive-thru, go to the gun show and then do a lunch. You know, maybe go to Academy or Gander Mountain or something after that. Just, you know, hanging out. It's just kind of a day out with the guys. I mean, the girls do it and they have a lot of fun when they go out. This is just a guy's day out without having to be hunting stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Those are just two real quick comments. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it. And tell Ben thank you as well. Thank you, sir. Bye.
That's a great idea, Joe. Carry a notepad or an iPhone or iPad or some kind of a device that you can make notes on and make notes of guns you see and prices you see. Ben did a great gun show podcast, didn't he? One of his recent middle of the week, MSP. For those of you who don't know, MSP stands for Modern Self-Protection. That's Ben's podcast. Check out, by the way, Ben does a show called the Modern Self-Protection Podcast at modernselfprotection.com, and it's also on iTunes. He does his own podcast over there, too. Go ahead and listen to that. But every once in a while, he throws in a middle-of-the-week episode for this show here. So he did a great one on gun shows because he works gun shows now. He works part-time for a firearms dealer here in San Antonio called Sparks Firearms. But that's a good point, Joe. I'm going to try that next time I go to a gun show. You know, it's been a long time since I've been to a gun show. I need to get to one. It's just been a long time. God, how long? Whew, man, I bet it's been over a year since I've been to a gun show. I've been so busy. Whenever I get a chance to shoot, I'm either teaching a class or shooting competition. Matter of fact, I haven't shot competition in a long time. I tell you what, for those of you, just to let you know, once you become an instructor and you start to get busy being an instructor, it kind of just takes over. But it's fun. It's fun because I get some training out of it, too. Believe me, I get training out of it, too. So I'm out there to learn. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun and if I wasn't getting something out of it as well. So thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate that. That's about it, folks. That's the recent voicemails that have come in. And please send me more. You can call 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. You can go to my website at handgunworld.com and click the call me button. Some people say it's not working with Apple devices. I'll try to fix that. But if you're in front of your computer or you have a non-Apple device, you go to handgunworld.com. And just click the call me button. It will hook your phone up with my voicemail, all that good high-tech stuff, and you can leave me a voicemail. I'd love to hear comments and what you have to say. If you don't want me to air your comments, just tell me that. Some of you have said you were just leaving me a voicemail just because you wanted to tell me something and that it's easier than writing me an email. That's fine, and I won't put you on the air. Please remember to support my show by not spending any extra money. Yeah, how's that? You don't have to spend any extra money to support my show. If you're going to make a purchase on Amazon, all you got to do is go to my Handgun World website, click the Amazon store link, and just click the little icon that says Amazon store. Once you get to that page, and if you buy something through my Amazon store on Amazon, it'll help the show. I get a little fee for that, a little commission, sort of. I guess that's what you could call it. That helps support the show. You don't have to spend any extra money. If you're going to buy something anyway, consider buying it through my Amazon store. If you want to get involved in the Shooters Club, we got another video coming real soon. We put up at least one video a month. And I'm still working on that audio podcast. I'm doing it in bits and pieces, and I'm going to keep the subject secret for right now. But there'll be a fresh audio podcast for you audio members. For only $75 a year, you can get an audio and video membership. And more cool giveaways are coming up, probably October time frame. Everybody who is already a member, plus all the new members, are going to be involved in the giveaway. I want to give a shout-out to Concealment Solutions, concealmentsolutions.com, Sturdy Belts, sturdybelt.com. I'm wearing it again today using a Concealment Solutions. I use a Concealment Solutions Black Mamba for inside the waistband carry. And I also want to give a shout out to White Dog Holsters, whitedogholsters.com, some of the best outside the waistband Kydex holsters that I use for competition and for training and things like that. Just phenomenal products. And CCW Comfort Sling. Don't forget about CCW Comfort Sling. I do use it once in a while. Use it when I'm carrying a real heavy gun. I've been getting a lot of good feedback from people who have purchased the CCW Comfort Sling. I had a whole podcast on that, ccwcomfortsling.com. And I'll try to put links. Matter of fact, I will put links in the show notes the best I can to all these fine products. They're not sponsors of the show, but they have helped out, and they've done some giveaways in the shooter for the Shooters Club podcast. And I'm pretty generous about the giveaways, and so are the sponsors, so are the people. They're not, again, they're not really sponsors of the show, but they sponsor a certain promo that I do with the Shooters Club podcast. Congratulations to the winners who recently won a couple of spots to some classes that Ben and I teach, and congratulations to the winner of the 250 rounds of 9mm ammo just for signing up for a Shooters Club membership. So if you go to handgunworld.com, you get all that great content plus the opportunity to win stuff and get discounts. With all that said, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. Please join the NRA, the Second Amendment Foundation. Do all that stuff to support gun rights. And remember, the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Well, he's just an excitable boy. He took in the phone.